She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna ride. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around. She
I really like it when the universe aligns with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So last week on the show, we were talking about spending habits and bar habits. And Joshy, you brought up this point that people are refusing to open up tabs at bars. You noticed it. You were talking about this people from out of town who didn't tip on their purchases, and you almost felt compelled to, you know, shame them or at least inform them of the tipping procedures here.
The norms.
Yeah. Standards. So all of a sudden this weekend, you drop a little article into the text chain, and sure enough, the New York Times has done an article. They did a study or research or whatever you want to say. They talked to a boatload of people that says that Gen, I always have to check the Gens, Gen Z.
Z.
What even is Gen Z? Is that me? Am I a Gen Z?
No.
Gen Z. That's pretty good, actually, for a Monday.
Okay. How far removed from Gen Z am I?
Quite a bit.
Decades?
Yeah.
I don't mean this disrespectfully, so pardon me. I think you are an elder millennial is what they would call you.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Good to know. At some point, I feel like I should nail all those down. What, Chew?
What am I, a Y?
Yes, you're
as
not
far
quite,
as you, as far as the question I ask myself multiple times throughout the show, yes.
What is the term we use for that generation? It's you're not the boomer generation. You are
Chewy is Gen X.
Yes.
Gen X? That's the coolest. If you're Gen X. Yeah, no, I'm just saying the way it sounds the coolest. Gen X, yeah.
The young
like I have superpowers. Well,
actually hold on. What year were you born, Chew?
I'll just stick with Gen X.
Yeah.
Okay, no, you're Gen X. You are Gen X.
Okay.
The newest one is Gen Alpha.
No. The new one started this year.
Oh, no.
It's Generation Beta.
Not as good as Alpha.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wait, what does that mean?
Yeah, you belong in a fraternity.
Easy peasy.
I mean, while that sounds good, I don't think that's accurate.
No, it's just the naming convention. They went A through the alphabet, and now they're
and we're at Y and then Z, and so we start over with alpha.
Oh, it's like hurricanes. Oh, okay,
it's just like hurricanes.
Yeah. So yes, Gen Z are currently 13 to 28. Generation Alpha is currently 0 to 11.
So for the sake of this article, 28 is. 21 through 28 is who we're referring to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this article says Gen Z doesn't want to start a bar tab. And it goes through this whole talking to patrons, talking to bartenders, and bartenders are frustrated because they obviously operate from an efficiency standpoint, and every time they have to boop the card and boop the card and boop the card, or if you're Apple Paying, password in, boop, password out, boop. Like it takes time. It takes away from their bottom line. But they're saying that they have noticed, this article is talking to a number of patrons who say that creating a bar tab is actually causing them anxiety, which is why they don't do it. And I was like, what are the odds of Joshy bringing this up last week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, and then it being an article in the New York Times? Are you surprised to learn that 21 through 28-year-olds refuse to start bar tabs these days?
No, because I have three of them in that group, and here's why. Okay. The fight is if they put a card down and pay for the night, there's always one that you have to say, dude, Venmo me the money. Venmo. Venmo me the money. It's you know what it's like? It's like the old phone bill, Jen, when we went to college. There was always the one roommate, because the bill has to go under one of the room, you know, one of the roommates' names. We had a guy we had to call his mother and say, will you tell your son to give us $100 for the phone, you know? And I thought, I know my kids don't like doing that because there's always one in the group that you have to tell 8 times to Venmo money.
You gotta chase them down.
I think that's why they don't like to do it.
Okay, yeah. So when they're going up to the bartender, they're ordering a round of drinks or they're ordering a drink? That's the next, I'm trying to figure out, layer of this. They're ordering a round.
And then the next person gets the round.
Their concern is that if they leave their tab open, everyone in the group will be going up to the bartender and putting all of their beverages on their tab.
You gotta get, okay, first of all, if that's your worry, get better friends.
Yeah.
If you're worried that your friends are just going to take advantage of your open bar tab, turns out you don't have friends. You have people who are willing to take advantage of you. Those are not your friends. You should find new ones.
So the article details, and this is something I've noticed anecdotally, sitting at bars, being around bars, is the younger kids always go up, they order there are 3 or 4 drinks that close it.
Are you just the old guy at the end of the bar? Yes. Just the local and the high life.
Well, you know, George Wentz passed away last week. Yeah. So Josh was like, well, here we go.
Josh is just sitting at the end of the bar watching all these transactions happen in front of him.
This might come as a shock to you. 1, I spend a decent amount of time at bars. 2, I'm hyper-vigilant, looking at people and judging people at all times.
Nope, no shocks there. Yeah, okay.
Is there a 3?
3? Would you guys like to dispute anything?
We're all on the same page. So, please continue.
This is something I've noticed, and being friends with a lot of service workers, you notice because you're more empathetic to them. They're paying attention, they're talking to you, they're giving you the eye roll as this group of kids comes up for the 6th time, orders their 2 drinks, closes the tab, does it all over, gets their sheets of paper, signs them, comes back, that whole thing. It doesn't really source Venmo much in the article. It's like about an anxiety, about being
financially conscious.
Yeah, and also about being worried about like, well, what if I want to go somewhere else? And it's like, well, close your tab and go there in 2 minutes.
But that to me is, I don't do this. I don't go to bars anymore. So yes, when I asked if I was Gen Z, that should have been the first indication. But one is the idea of being shackled somewhere.
Right.
I think that we're talking about a generation that wants to bop and move and be able to flip on a dime and, oh, we're going there now. Perfect. I got no strings. I got no nothing. I'm walking out the door as you guys are walking out the door. And I think when you talk about the anxiety, it goes back to being quote unquote left behind. Right? The group is moving, and now I'm over here fumbling with the bartender, trying to flag him down to get my tab, to get my card. And I know you guys were telling me that's a new development as well. In my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to leave my card behind. I have left my card behind. Whomst among us, though, right? Like, whomst among us hasn't left a debit card at the bar and then had to go back the next day? You never want to walk into the bar you were at the night before in the light of day.
Googling that bar and what time do they open is, that's a tough thing that you're typing into the phone at 9 a.m.
I've done my worst habit with that is I'll sign my tab
and then leave my card behind.
Be like, yep. We're all done here.
You got the card, but somehow still left it.
Oh. And the thing about, like, how's a way to say this? Can you people not do anything? You can't figure out for yourself, like, hey, maybe in 5 minutes we'll go here. So in the meantime, while you guys hang out and finish your drinks, I'll close my tabs. Because that's how I've done it for the past 15 years. I've never had an issue. And, if you're going down the street, I'll meet you there in 5.
Chew, I'm curious what you notice, if anything, when you're sitting at the bar on NFL Sundays. When you and Ange go to the bar and you guys decide to belly up for a few games there, do you notice that most people leave the tab open? I'm guessing the clientele is more your age than the Gen Z.
They have Gen Zers in Florida?
The whole state is
minimum age requirement.
See, when there's a bit of uncomfortableness, you know, because you go out with different kinds of people, like when people don't want to go to the hip. I don't like the group feeling uncomfortable, so I'll just go to the hip, which Angie sometimes gets a little ticked at.
Wait a minute. I just want to cover one thing. You don't like people feeling uncomfortable?
Yes.
And when you say the hip?
My wallet.
You just think it was a gun?
Gotcha. I didn't know if you say in the corner of the bar.
No, some people's arms aren't quite as long as, you know what I'm talking about, the old alligator arms.
Yes.
I just don't like that. And moment. I get it. I guess my kids get it, that uncomfortableness, you know. So I usually go, like, I'm a good, like, 3-1 is fine. Like, Blammer, I take him out to lunch a lot of Saturdays. But that's more of like he works for me.
Is he aware of this arrangement?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And I understand being cost conscious, but there's times Gabe and I go to the bar. Sometimes I'll buy every one of his beers. The next time, yeah, he buys every one of my beers.
Yeah.
And we just, yeah, because we're not spending $150, $300.
High life's pretty cheap.
Right. It's $4 or $5 a pop. We have three or four beers. We part ways and say, hey, good time hanging with my buds.
Well, that is one detail that they discuss in the article, is this idea that the younger generation is more financially conscious than, yes, the previous ones, right? And how, yeah, they're, you know, they have watched their parents go through economic and financial uncertainty and the anxiety that that caused their family. And therefore, not that they're pinching pennies, but they're just so much more acutely aware of where their money is going. And so this one woman is saying that she's actively monitoring how much she has spent as the night goes on. So instead of at the end of the night being surprised by a big number, she's like, I've spent $6. I've spent $12. I've spent $18. I capped myself at 40 tonight. And so
your memory's that bad that you need the reminder of the receipt that you're keeping and walking
along. The
more along.
Beverages you have, I'm pretty sure that is a well-known.
What if you misplaced one of the receipts? Now all of a sudden my tallies are off by the, you know, $10 at the end of the night.
You know what the nicest thing is? The nicest thing, and it happened to us for the, I wouldn't say the first time. One of the other kids did it once, but Coach at North Dakota State, when we were in Minneapolis, picked up a bar tab. Me and Angie almost fell out of our seat.
Did you cry?
Almost fell out of our seat. We're like, what just happened? And it was like a $200 bar tab, you know? I'm like, is scholarship over? Does this mean there's no more scholarship?
I assume, yeah, that if he's picking up other people's tabs, then yes, he is. He's assuming he's covering that. You guys aren't covering that anymore. Mitch weighing in on the Carbless talk and text line. He says, sometimes it takes forever to close out, depending on how busy the bar is. I like to leave when I want to leave. And that was what we were talking about from the convenience sake and not being shackled to one spot. If you have your card in hand, if the tab is closed out, you can just walk out the door. But Josh, you were saying there are some places where you can just walk out the door and have your tab open.
Yeah, it's about 50-50 at this point where the system can hold your card information. And the assumed thing, and it'll say most places, like somewhere on the bar or on the receipt, like if you leave your card here, it's 20%. So there's plenty of places where if they give my card back and it's a busy bar, I'll go, well, I'm not going to bother them because I'm going to waste time of the bartender for them to close my tab when I could just walk out and give them the 20% anyways. That, to me, is probably the best way to do it.
Is this a numbers game, though? If there's just three, let's just say there's four of you, Gabe, mm-hmm, and two other people, then do you just leave it open and say, it's fine? But when it gets to be like 8, 9, 12,
yeah, of course,
you don't want to be on the hook for that. So is there a number?
Yeah, but like typically if I'm going out, which is, again, as I get older, few and far between.
Welcome.
But if I'm going out and I get drinks, I'm going to leave it open. Like most of my friends, even if I have an open tab, and sometimes some of my friends, even if I tell them to put it on, uh-huh, my tab, they won't. Like, hey, let me pick that one up. Go just put it on my tab. And they just won't. But like if I'm out with a group of people and I want to get around, like I'll just get around because, like Joshy said before, at least with the group of friends I have, I feel like it all comes out in the wash. Like
that's what I do. If there's three other couples besides me and Ange,
yeah,
at the end everyone just throws in a card. Just say cut it equally.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're going out for a big dinner, yeah.
So the way I'm hearing Chew is, and I'm interpreting it two different ways, so I want to hit on both of them. One, the number of people that are in your group, that makes a difference. Two, the number of people who are currently at the bar, right? Early in the evening, if there's just three of you sitting at the bar, Joshy and, mm-hmm, two others, you know, then you have more of that one-on-one, yeah, relationship with the bartender. And I feel like there's not such a emphasis on efficiency. But as the bar gets busier and the bartender's trying to, again, maximize their sales, then I feel like that changes the dynamic as well. Here's what I'll say to this. Couldn't it just be solved by, hey, I understand there's an inconvenience here. I'm going to tip a little bit more for the inconvenience. Because theoretically, the reason the bartenders are frustrated by it is because the seconds that you're wasting on each person accumulate into time that they are not getting another sale, getting another tip, getting another tab, getting another drink. So if you make up for that, does that then absolve you from closing out your tab, Joshy?
I would think so. I think money speaks in any situation. If you've been an inconvenience to the bartender, you recognize it, they recognize it, and you give them an extra $5, they'll go, we're good. Everything's fine. Don't mind. I understand it. Not every situation's the best. The whole efficiency thing is, I've been doing this for how long now? Like 15 years?
I don't know.
Sometimes,
you tell me.
Sometimes your life isn't going to be exactly convenient for you. And that's just what it takes to be an adult. Sometimes you're going to have to wait in a long line to close your bar tab. Guess what? Too bad. I'm sorry. That's life. Not everything can be optimized and efficiencied to the point of I'm living exactly how I want to. You're in a bar. There's other people there. Other people have needs. So you're going to work around because you're in a community together. You're there with people at the bar. You're being friends. You're making community. That's just how it goes.
We got to take a break here.
Okay,
you know, one thing I don't hear anymore, though, is the waitress saying separate checks. I don't hear that anymore.
Ooh, it's been a while since I've gone out for, like, dinner.
I'd never hear separate
outside
checks.
Of, like, just me and my wife. Like, it's been a long time since I've gone out to dinner with a big group of friends.
It happens a lot, and I think as you get older, it sort of comes down to split it three ways, or this side of the table's on one, that side of the table's on the other, and you do it that way.
Chewy, I got good news for you, pal.
What?
Despite being the oldest one on the show, you're not the oldest one on the show.
What?
I mean, have you heard old man DiMaggio just ranting this entire segment?
Oh. Yeah, he's a ranter.
Just get off my clouds.
Just get off my couch.
Just live for yourself. Be an adult. That's all I'm asking people. Grow up. Figure it out.
Mike in the 601 says, Gen Y and Gen C are anxious about many things. This is just another one. And Chef Ed says, I was born in 58. I always keep my tab open. Always over tip. Having been in the service industry forever, I appreciate them. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now that we're all warmed up, all stretched out, lots of stuff to get to. We want to touch on the Trey Hendrickson situation. Also, everybody's telling us now that the league goes through Giannis when it comes to the NBA. Oh, by the way, the finals were just established. They haven't even played the finals yet. And we will talk about whether or not Giannis makes the New York Knicks, which is what they're talking about on Get Up this morning. The next team to beat. All that and more on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. There is a reason. Here at ESPN Milwaukee, we have trusted Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin for years. Because for somebody like me, got the new house, you know, just a little over a year ago. I want to make a couple of different changes. We needed a new front door. Of course, the only place I was going to go to, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And if it's time to upgrade your windows or doors for you, but you don't want to spend a fortune, Pella, best in the industry, has a product line for every budget. They've got a lot of different options, a lot of different customizations. And again, they can make their windows and doors fit your budget. Right now, you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, well, guess what? Just get it now and wait. Start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply. N63025. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWY.com. Make sure when you go to Pella, tell them that Gabe sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it's your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so.
We are putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. What do? You go out, you leaving your tab open, or are you closing it after every transaction? Jason in the 801 says, the bars also do not like the microtransaction fees because every time you swipe your credit card, there is a charge of a dollar or two, depending on the place, depending on the credit card company, and the bars, and then in turn, the employees
It all flows down. Yeah, they use that. So, you know, let's say it's a 4% transaction that you get charged every time. Like, that's going to stay the same. But then per swipe, there's like 30 cents that's in there that if you keep swiping hundreds and hundreds of times, like all those little charges add up if you're a busy bar over the course of one night.
You know what I noticed down here in Florida is they're adding that charge to your bill.
So they don't incur it. You just do.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that a couple places now, and I think that is to discourage the constantly checking out or closing your tab every time. They say, like, straight, because a lot of places you see, and it happens a lot of smaller bars, like dive bars, it's basically $10 minimum. You can't go up there and buy one beer and close out your tab. You got to spend $10 at least.
All right, speaking of bars, I want to transition to this, and we can keep talking about this as the show goes on. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has been following, detailing, and covering this proposal for a Brewers district. You know, you think about the Deer District and how fantastic that was when the Bucks won the whole dang thing in 2021, right? It was awesome. People were jammed in that area. It served as a overflow for when the Bucks made the playoff run and won the title. So now there is this idea of the area surrounding AmFam Field needs entertainment and development and restaurants and bars and all of these things that would make going to the Brewers game, I don't know, take it up to another level. So first and foremost, I want to know where you guys stand on that. Do you think that AmFam Field, as currently constructed, is in desperate need of some sort of entertainment district surrounding it, Gabe?
No. Absolutely not. Because, I mean, part of the thought of the Deer District as well in those bars that operate that building that are so close to Fiserv Forum is that, oh, they can be open year-round. Like, Gather does pretty well. I know Drink Wisconsinably seems like it's doing pretty well, but, I mean, some of the other places, I don't know. I mean, the Punch Bowl Social has been open and shut down and closed, like, feels like four or five different times. Maybe I'm exaggerating there. But even at a place that's downtown, next to Water Streets, next to, you know, MLK and all those bars that operate there, like, it's a spot where if you're out bar hopping on a Friday night, oh, yeah, you can, you know, oh, let's go over and drink Wisconsinably. That is so far, AmFam Field is so far out of the way. Like, it's not by anything, which is fantastic. I think it's part of the reason why they put it out there, so they could have the massive parking lots making easy to go to games, and then you can still have the tailgate culture and everything that's part of going to a Brewers game. Having its own district, I don't know how that's going to be viable outside of the 81 games that you have there every year.
So to be clear, Chu, take this into consideration as you're thinking about this. It would also be residential. There would be this idea of putting up townhomes or apartment buildings or condos where people would also live there. So it would be retail, commercial, residential. We talked about bars and restaurants, of course. If people lived there, would that be more sustainable? If the people that lived in this new beer district, for lack of a better phrase, could support it, would you feel better about them doing something like this?
Yeah, you'd feel better. It kind of feel like the Corners, because the Corners in Brookfield has residential in it too, and that's, you know, there's a couple of good restaurants in there, and that's a neat little look. I'm still pissed that they didn't put this thing downtown, and I'll just say I'm sorry. Summerfest is the biggest waste of flipping land in Milwaukee. It is so good. How often is it used?
Every weekend.
No, it's not.
Every weekend.
Nope. Would you like to have had?
Festa Italiana
would
just
you
happened,
have
man.
Liked to have had the baseball field downtown
no.
on the lake?
Nope.
You're
absolutely
insane.
Not. Because you couldn't put AmFam Field anywhere downtown and continue the tailgate culture, which is such a big part of what going to a Brewers game is. Where are you going to have the massive parking lots and the massive? I mean, seriously, like, go drive past there, see how much.
So you want
there
Miller Park where it is just for the tailgating? What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
Then they could have had a district down there, which would have been awesome. Would have rivaled the Deer District, and. Hell, I would even go to games.
No, you wouldn't.
Listen, I don't
All right,
disagree
let's,
with
let's
you.
Let's not get crazy here.
I don't
here.
Disagree with you about, again, hindsight being 2020, I would have loved to have had the ballpark downtown. But that ship has sailed, so let's continue with where it currently is constructed. Is there any value to adding around it? Here's what I will say. Milwaukee Brewers baseball is all about tailgating. Like, every single baseball game I've ever gone to, you spend at least a couple hours in the parking lot having pops, having some brats with your pals, throwing bags in the parking lot. That's a huge part of it. I don't know that that is as much a part of baseball culture anywhere else. Anywhere else in the country. I know of places that certainly is not. Obviously, having covered the Cubs and covered the White Sox, like, there's more tailgating that happens at Guaranteed Rate Field than there is at Wrigley because of the space around it. I had to remember what it was called. Guaranteed Rate.
I love the arrow that went down. I think it's just called Rate Field now. I don't even, or Guaranteed Field. I think they even changed it again. But, like, where it is now, where are they going to put residential? Like, where is this going? Are they going to cut into the parking lots? Because when they sell it out, like, when I went to the game last Monday, I was there for Memorial Day, and we showed up a little bit late.
Did you tailgate?
They were running out of... No, because I decided to play golf.
Mr. Tailgater didn't tailgate. Oh, then why'd you go?
Because I like baseball. Because I like baseball.
Yeah, but that was the dumbest argument, Gabe. Keep the stadium there for tailgating.
When's the last time? Okay, all right. When's the last time you went to a game? If you want to play this game?
Let me think.
Okay.
Do we need to pull out the Jeopardy music? Or get a...
Probably anyway. 2000, probably 2016.
Okay, 9 years. Honestly, I thought it was going to be before that. Maybe the last time you went was when it was County Stadium. But when I went to the game, it was a sellout. Last Monday was a sellout for Memorial Day. They ran out of parking. Like, people were parking just in the back of the, like, preferred parking lot. Like, not in designated spaces, just, hey, I need a place to put my car. So are you going to, in order to have residential, I would assume you'd have to cut into your parking lots somewhere.
Yes.
I mean, again, if they want to have sellouts and they're already running out of parking.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, and I don't know because I haven't read the entire proposal, I think they would add a parking structure. There would be a structure now where you could, you know, go up instead of out. Again, the reason I bring up the residential thing is because I think that the biggest argument against a beer district, which, by the way, in theory sounds incredible. It does. It sounds incredible to have, like, a new bar, a new restaurant, be able to pop down there, turn it into something that isn't just for baseball. Concerts, all of that stuff. It sounds incredible. I don't think it's sustainable. In part because of what you have mentioned about the Deer District, right? While some of those places have done a decent job of being able to sustain outside of buck season, been able to stay relevant and keep the doors open, not everyone has. And there have been times where we've walked down there, we've had people from out of town, and they want to see Pfizer pop into the old pro shop, and it's a ghost town. Tumbleweeds. And that's downtown Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Being this far removed from the city, unless you have some type of public transportation that is bringing people, I don't know, from the airport to there, or bringing people from downtown to there, or you've got some sort of, like, transit that's making loops and stuff, I think it'll be tough to get people to that area that aren't currently residing there, Joshy.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know how this would affect all the bars on Blue Mound there that do the shuttles, and many people who don't have cars and aren't able to get there that way, they stop at those bars, they patronize them, and then they go to take a shuttle, they get there back and forth, and I don't know if they're trying to get those people away from there or exactly what that is. I think you could bring some sort of entertainment, like just a little something to do in the parking lot, to have a bar to stop to on your way in. Like, I don't think that would be, many people would be against that.
Would it be cheaper than in the stadium? Because at that point, why don't you just go into the stadium? Because if you go to Drink Wisconsinably, your drink is cheaper there.
Bar prices.
Than when you walk inside Fiserv Forum and get a beer.
Yeah, I don't know totally. I guess it's hard to figure out do they think that the parking lots aren't full enough on
regular
enough occasion for it to be worth having all that land. Because, I mean, driving through there, it's a lot of parking.
So Danny brings up an interesting point on the Carbless Talkin' text line. Danny says, this is what they did when the Braves moved to Truist from Turner Field. There is no tailgating now. They just want you to spend more money at their bars and restaurants as opposed to your own. Which I think is a good point that we need to address here. Like, you know, brewers recognize that tailgating is a big part of culture and whatnot. But if they can put more money in the brewer's pocket, and again, I'm not judging here. I'm just saying this to me feels like a normal, natural thing. Aren't they going to try to make that happen?
I think, again, it comes down to cost analysis. Because they're getting all that money. What you're losing in giving up those parking spots, is it going to be worth it in the end? Because the brewers get all the money for the parking. Like, that's part of, you know, their annual budgets and all that, and would giving up whatever parking spots you would have to, would that be worth it? I mean, in the long run, maybe, but short term, you got to give up a lot of capital.
The only way they're going to maximize their dollars is if people go there when there is no baseball.
Correct. Which is why places like X-Golf inside AmFam Field or the Barrel Yard, like, they're trying to have people, you know, come up with things inside the ballpark that bring them there. And X-Golf has done well. I don't know how the restaurant is doing inside there. But, I mean, it seems, when I go to X-Golf, seems like there's people down there and enjoying the Barrel Yard, which is open year-round as well. But, again, it's just, like, you're going there specifically for
What do you think? And I don't know if you guys know the answer to this question, but let's just say this weekend coming up in Green Bay, what is that whole area like? Do people go there? when there's no Packers stuff going on? Like, what's the huge place on the corner
Titletown?
Of... is that Titletown?
Something like that, right?
Or so it's Titletown District. So, like, the whatever bar and brewery is up there, kind of like next to Kroll's or whatever, too.
But Lambeau has such a historic element to it that people are just going there outside to see Lambeau Field, right?
So no one's giving a tour of Fiserv Forum.
That's what I'm saying. Are they blinded by the fact that the Packers do it so we can do it? Because this is too different.
Yeah. I mean, but again, Lambeau Field, to Jen's point, it's a destination.
Sure.
Like, as a kid, I remember going up there, and, you know, we did the Packers Hall of Fame, and, you know, and that was, like, a practice wasn't even going on. Just, oh, we'll go up for the Packers Hall of Fame, you can do a Lambeau tour, and now you can do all those things. Like, having that tourism aspect of Lambeau Field makes Titletown more viable outside of the 8 or 9 games that they have there. It just, AmFam Field is great. I love it. If X-Golf wasn't there, I'm not visiting AmFam Field during the winter.
In February when it's 12 degrees out.
And no, it sounds like the Brewers are understanding of, at least sensitive to the concerns of fans who do enjoy tailgating and want to ensure that any development wouldn't take away from that, that would still be an option. But I also picture, you know, you guys were just mentioning Lambeau Field. I imagine that if this sucker goes through, there's going to be a hotel put up there. Right? Some sort of residence inn or some sort of, you know, one of these ones that pop up on the corners off the highway so that people, when they do travel in from out of town, can stay right there. And that then affects, like, Pottawatomie, for instance, or St. Kate or other places in downtown that people would stay where they have more dining options and all of that. All of a sudden, that is being taken out of downtown and put in this proposed beer district. I find it very interesting. I'm very curious what people's thoughts are, if people would be open to it, if you've been to other towns where you've had good experiences at these sort of places. You know, I always think about Philadelphia. Been there a number of times, but mostly when I was covering the Packers playoff run in 2010, 2011. And all of their stadiums are right there, back to back. So they can support restaurants, bars, you know, a little bit of that infrastructure because it's year round, right? If you're not at the basketball game, you're at the football game. If you're not at the football game, you're at the baseball game. If you know what I mean? Like they've got, and then there's an old arena that used to be the basketball that now they do. You know, all the concerts. Other events in concerts and, you know, the trucks that come in, you know, and all the stuff that you also have monster trucks. That's it. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. Grave digger.
Yeah. I'm saying just like all of those types of events that come into town when the other teams are out.
You're wearing a flannel, so you got to make a comment about the monster truck.
I mean, monster trucks are sick.
Hey, rolling coal, right,
Josh? Grave digger's a legend.
Monster trucks are sick.
Are we talking about Gilbert or a truck?
The truck.
Why not both?
Okay. Gilbert driving the Gravedigger?
Oh,
I'd like to see that.
Gravedigger in the Gravedigger? A crossover Josh never even thought of, too. He desperately needs that.
What was his burger called at McDonald's?
The Gilbert Burger. It was Burger King.
Oh, sorry.
The Gilbert Burger, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You guys are doofuses.
Yeah. You know what his nickname is, though? It's very weird.
Gilbert?
And it's not the grave.
Yeah, no,
it is not.
Your guys is because, yes, you guys had different nicknames for everybody in the locker room.
What did you call him?
Chili.
Why?
I had no idea.
Well, great
Never
story.
Never seen the man eat chili.
You usually have a backstory.
Now, apparently with the defensive, he doesn't remember why Sean Jones was salad, doesn't remember why Gilbert's chili.
We got to take a break
look,
here.
Look, if I'm not giving him the nickname, then I'm not very, very interested.
Did you give Brett the Two Live nickname?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because everyone called him Crew from The Longest Yard.
Yep.
And I was a big Two Live Crew guy.
So then he became Two Live.
Name a song.
Let's move on.
Burning down the house. Burning down the house.
Aren't you glad we didn't move on?
Nope.
We wouldn't have gotten Chewy making those noises.
Can you clip that, hold that, so we can drop that?
If I remember correctly, in the Brett Favre documentary, he was seen singing one of their songs.
Don't.
He was?
Don't, oh, that's what you were worried.
Yeah.
Hey, we won.
No, there it is.
turned them off.
Gotta take a break. Gotta take a break. Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win, and Friday, June 27th, they are showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share, June 27th, only at Potawatomi. More info online. Must be 21 years old to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like, just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training lot.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Linda in the fall weighing in saying the bars on Blue Mound are the Brewers district goal already achieved. I think there's a number of people who feel that way as well. And I think that it probably only like rears its ugly head in the off months of baseball when you're driving by on 94 and you just see the parking lots and parking lots and parking lots and maybe your imagination runs wild and you're like, what could they do with all that space outside of baseball season? I will say Rob Manfred has for years been saying that the baseball park they were talking about with the Atlanta Braves, Truist, I think is what they're calling it, what they call it, Truist, that is what he expects all future ballparks and ballpark areas to model. So they call it the Battery Atlanta, according to an article that I am reading here from several years ago. So keep that in mind. I don't know how much Major League Baseball, how much say they have in the whole thing, Gabe. But if Major League Baseball gets involved, is there any chance that maybe the wheels get rolling here? Right, where we are right now is just a study is being done to kind of see what people's reactions would be, what their thoughts are, which is sort of what we're doing here this morning.
No, Rob Manfred in baseball can't make the Brewers do anything. Because if this thing, if the study comes back, hey, this isn't going to be financially like feasible. Like it just doesn't make sense. Long term, it doesn't make sense. Like Rob Manfred's not going to come in and go, too bad, so sad. You got to eat it, Brewers, just so it looks pretty around the ballpark. No, like they're going to respect the decisions of, you know, stadiums of and individual teams to make their own financial decisions and what's in the best interest of the ballpark or the club.
Do we know who's paying for it?
I believe so. This is the study itself is being paid for by the state, too. Like that was a part of the agreement that they came to. What was that last year? Was it 2 years ago already? I can't remember when they were talking about making the upgrades to AmFam Field, winterizing it. Where's this money going to come from? So as part of the money that was agreed to in the latest agreement between the Brewers and the state and the ballpark district and all those things, a study was going to be done to see if they could do something like this. So I believe
it's a go, who's going to pay for that? The state? Is there going to be a TIF?
So that's going
to
be...
Because I don't think people want to go into their pocket to pay for this thing.
So that's going to be, I think, if this study comes back to of,
yeah,
okay, yeah, we think we can do this, that's the next hurdle that they probably have to clear of, okay, who's going to pay for this? And I guarantee you that the Brewers are going to want...
Yes.
Some taxpayer dollars. I feel very confident in saying that they would want that. And if the taxpayers say no, maybe that kills it as well because the Brewers don't want to put in all of that money. Because again, it kind of in the short term hampers your cash to put all of that money into building that district.
Well, and of course you have fans who are coming from a ways away when they enjoy Brewers baseball. Ryan in the 920 says, what about the fans that live 50 miles away or more? Are they getting taxed? Is it a statewide tax? Are they getting taxed then for this beer district that they might only be able to frequent once a year, you know, when they make a trip to the game?
That's the next debate, is where does that money just go back to a 5-county tax? What do they want to do? Yeah, that's... This is step one in many, 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 many steps before this thing would actually become a reality.
Sounds like there's also talks about changing up the interchange there. an expansion project to 94 that would, you know, make it maybe easier to get on or off near the ballpark. There's a lot of stuff that is being discussed. We're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, the Infinity Exterior Twitter poll. Do you see yourself going there?
94 project?
Yeah, exactly. Aren't we still doing it? are we still down a lane? North, do you see yourself going to this beer district for stuff other than baseball? Let us know. Just curious where the fan base stands right now. And speaking of baseball, can we have a conversation about the Milwaukee Brewers, please? Can we have a conversation about how they just swept the Phillies and they're putting up runs like football score runs over the weekend? Yeah, that works for me. I'll take a little applause. Do we feel better about where the Brewers are now, Gabe? Because I got to tell you, I think it was 1 week ago, I was like, I'm not loving this, not feeling great. Now they've rattled off, what, seven in a row?
Yelich
is hitting well. It feels like maybe this is the team that could actually compete for a division title.
So naturally, after Christian Yelich starts hitting well, we have to have a scare, and he has to get hit in the hand yesterday.
We can't have nice things.
No, can't have nice things when it comes to Christian Yelich and Brewers.
Right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Not expected to play today, but he's day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't grip the bat.
Yeah, difficult. Need that.
I think that's important to hitting. So hopefully that's nothing. But it's more than just him. Like, Jackson Chourio started hitting again. William Contreras has started hitting. And Reese Hoskins has been pretty consistent hitting throughout the year. So when you have the top three guys you were counting on who haven't been big contributors offensively starting to hit, yeah, this is what can happen. Now it's, okay, is this actually sustainable or is it just a really good week of baseball? That's the next step for the Brewers.
Do they have any All-Stars right now or no?
Sal.
Probably the same. Oh, yeah, Sal Frelick.
Sal.
I was going to say it's probably the same names that you think about with this team every year. You know, like, could Jackson become an All-Star? I guess he'd have to really get hot again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not hitting.
I guess Christian every year could be an All-Star, but, you know,
but his average
this year
is
it feels like
33. That's not All-Star.
Chewy, he was 197 like a week ago, so.
That's not
good. Whew, it is picked up. Yeah, and it's picked up. So, yeah, I mean, really their best chance at an All-Star would be Freddy Peralta,
yeah.
Bryce Terang, or Sal Frelick.
Okay.
Those would be their best chances with like a month before like the voting's done.
Okay.
I get nervous. Again, it's a long baseball season. You're going to have highs. You're going to have lows. We always say don't get too high. Don't get too low. But this feels exciting. Like, it feels exciting for them to go to be able to sweep the Phillies for sure. They're a team that are always there at the end of the year. And again, could they still be there? Of course. But this feels like something to be excited about.
What it does is it gives you hope.
And Joshy, I got to be honest with you. That's where I have an issue. Like, should I just keep riding it like this? Or am I allowed to go a little, oh. Like, am I allowed to increase my interest level? Or should I just maintain that level head, that even keel? Because there will maybe be a 7-game losing streak somewhere in the upcoming month.
There's a 7-game losing streak, then. I think that's going to be curtains for the Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, keep that level head. Don't even, because you remember a couple years ago when the Brewers lost 2 out of 3 to a really bad A's team and Tausch decided to jump out. They might have gotten swept.
Yeah.
But he was bad. Like, he was bad. The A's were really bad and they lost a series to the A's. And Tausch just jumped off the bandwagon and they were terrible and not worth paying attention to. And then they won the division still. Like, just because they won 3 in a row against the Phillies, yes, it's great, but it's just another series. You got to move on and you got to keep playing. You can't. Winning 3 against the Phillies at the end of May and early June, like that doesn't do anything for you other than it's 3 nice wins, but now you got to keep going and start playing more consistent baseball, especially offensively.
I think what it does is it shows that the hitting's there. I mean, they had 2 team meetings, basically, players only, about, hey, we can't hit the ball, we got to figure this out. And what it does is it gives you optimism that I think was probably lacking for many of the fans. You thought, fine team, but can they put it together? Can they string together some wins? And can they show they're good enough to do it? And I think that gives you hope. We're, what, 60 games through the season? 65 games through the season? There's a lot of time left.
Exactly 60.
Exactly 60. So there's a ton of time left in the season. But a couple of these streaks throughout the rest of the regular season, this is how you become a playoff team or a division winner.
So I think I said to you guys a couple years ago, I was mad at myself at the end of the season because I didn't enjoy the ride as much I would have liked to. I think, again, there's a little bit of PTSD there. So there's a little bit of, like, we always fall short there. And I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. So what I think I need to do is I need to re-engage as the baseball fan. I need to re-engage and go, no, I want to ride high when the team is doing well. I want to enjoy that because at the end of the year, if you've just done the even keel thing, what a waste. What a waste of a summer. Like, if I'm not saying that you should get, like, clinically depressed when the Brewers lose a bunch of games in a row, but I'm also saying, like, I want to ride high when they have a stretch like this because that's what being a sports fan is all about. It's having that, like, collective joy. It's having that, oh, my God, did you see Christian Yelich with the two home runs in that game this weekend? It's like, I want to be able to exist in that space, Gabe, and I haven't given myself that in previous seasons. So maybe this, for me, this past weekend was the reminder of, like, hey, Jen, the baseball season is passing you by, man. Like, get locked in. Try to, you know what I'm saying? Enjoy these highs and not still get so, like, despondent about the lows.
Yeah, and they're starting to get healthy. Like, Jose Quintana was back yesterday, pitched pretty well for the Brewers, and, like, setting him up for that come-from-behind win against the Phillies yesterday. Brandon Woodruff should be back soon. Like, this pitching staff's starting to get healthy as well. And once they, you know, again, hopefully they can really put together a really good month of June. So they can look at, okay, what do we have in our minor league system? Can we acquire another hitter to try to chase down the Cubs, to try to chase down the surprising Cardinals?
All right. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people, although I did tell Gabe I actually did replace the light fixture all on my own this weekend. Took it down. Well, first I flipped the breaker, then I took it down, then I had the little wires, the black to black, the white to white, put it back up there, it worked no problem, I was very proud of myself. But when something is more complicated than a light fixture, that's when I rely on my friends over at PCI. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company, they believe in building relationships, and they've been in business for more than 20 years. You don't stick around for two decades unless you are doing exceptional work on your projects, and they will do that for you. Learn more about PCI and see some of their work, maybe even my basement project, at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have five safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Two field goals, two
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
You just never know what is going to strike a nerve with our loyal listeners. But this morning, this discussion about a beer district around AmFam Field certainly has. Augie from Fredonia weighing in saying, if the Brewers can afford to throw money into this, I'd rather that they spend on players to make a deep playoff run versus being one and done. I never know how the money works, guys. Are those like two separate pots?
No.
It's all one pot?
Yeah, I mean, whatever the Brewers have monetarily, yeah, they can use that however they want.
The only reason I bring it up is because every time we talk about the Green Bay Packers and we talk about the stock sale, we talk about that money, we are made acutely aware of the fact that none of that revenue can go towards the building of the team. It can't go towards roster. So I didn't know if the Brewers had any similar stipulation.
No, because it's, I mean, again, that's a salary cap sport. They've got the firm salary cap. Baseball's, no, make them. Make whatever money you want. Spend whatever money you want.
The difference in there is because of the Brewers, I mean, the Packers' unique ownership, that money, because of being publicly owned, goes into a separate kitty because that's not money that is going towards the team. In this, in theory, as a single owner like Mark is, any money he wishes to spend on the Brewers is money the Brewers can spend. So anywhere, any way, anyhow, that's up to the Brewers to spend as they see fit.
By the time this, I don't know how long this study's going to take, but I mean, chances are we're going to have a work stoppage here coming up in the winter of 26. So maybe, really? Maybe things could drastically change.
Alan in the 414 weighing in saying 43rd Street also quite busy, especially on game days. And then he says taking away parking space would be detrimental. It's why a lot of people go to the ballpark early and what makes Milwaukee unique. He says, I'm intrigued by adding hotels to the Valley, but disrupting the current layout would not be good in my opinion. I like the idea of a hotel down there, though. Somebody said on the YouTube stream, La Quinta? La Quinta? Which, yes, you're right. That is the chain that you see pop up everywhere. But yeah, I like the idea of there being some sort of lodging down in that area for people who are coming in from out of town.
I would imagine this study involved in it has how many of these spaces are used every, like, on a, you know, somewhat consistent basis. I can't imagine them hampering themselves in that way and taking up a whole bunch of space and then making it very difficult to get there or park there.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine those, because so many people come from, like, I mean, I drive past the, I live pretty near AmFam Field. The highway's backed up constantly, and those parking lots, even on like a Monday, can extend pretty far back there. It's not all that surprising, so I can't imagine they would forego that revenue and just throw up stuff there at random.
Yeah, just take a big gamble.
Right.
On, hey, what if we take away some of these parking spots and put up something that we're not sure if it's going to succeed?
Our friend Tony weighing in saying, Milwaukee can't even fill the luxury high-rise apartments that we have popping up left and right. The only way anything like this would work is expanding the hop, creating a block downtown, bringing people to and from. But Milwaukee is too poor for any of this, so it's a waste of money to even study. I'm seeing a lot of pessimism. And again, I'm not saying it's misplaced, but I have not seen anybody be like, give me that beer district. I need it. I want it. I haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen anybody say, actually, this feels like a good investment. Actually, this feels like looking into the future. Actually, this feels like something that would draw really well.
Well, that's what's going to be funny here as well is, and again, I understand if you're the Brewers and seeing what happened in 2021, like, oh, yeah, we should look into this. Like, look how packed that place is. What if we did something? If Giannis, again, I'm not predicting this happens, but if Giannis leaves this summer, what's the Deer District going to be like for the next handful of years?
Fair point.
So that's, again, that, yeah, it looks a great idea when the team's flying high, but team success is cyclical. You know, if you're not doing too well, I mean, how good is that going to look?
More optimism here on Jenny and Chewy. We'll talk about Giannis.
It's a Monday, it's
after
fine.
This.